Time to talk employment issues this morning. Graham Wynn is our employment expert. He is the Director of Superior People Recruitment, and he joins us again this morning. Graham, a couple of interesting topics this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Luke.
One is, how can we double our annual leave? There are some new rules coming up. Apparently, Aussie workers could soon be given the right to double their annual leave, but at half pay. It's under a new proposal backed by the unions and some peak business bodies. The Australian Council of Trade Unions, the ACTU, they've pitched the scheme, and it would introduce the right for greater leave and flexibility into industry awards. It's an interesting one, isn't it, Graham? Because most people get 4 weeks annual leave, and yet that no way covers school holidays, for example, when your kids need care. Take us through it, Graham.
This is really interesting, this one, for a number of reasons. I mean, just using the fact this, okay, we get 4 weeks, now you can have 8 weeks at half pay. So if you assume, just for round figures, you earn $1,000 a week, 8 of those weeks, though, you're only going to get half pay. So your salary dropped by $4,000 a year. Now, do you want that to happen? Because for those 8 weeks, you're only getting paid half your normal money. So in actual fact, the employee is going to be worse off. So the employer saves, which is great, but the employee loses money. Because for 8 weeks, you're only getting half pay. And I can't see why an employee would suddenly want to lose half their wages. Or in the current climate, can you afford to only get half pay for 8 weeks of a year? That's one side of it.
What's the other side?
The other side, if you're a small business, you cannot afford to have your staff taking 8 weeks of annual leave off. You just can't afford, because basically it will increase your own cost potential. You might just roster extra staff on, and so you're paying those extra staff, more money there for overtime costs, etc., or whatever comes into it. So it can potentially cost the employer more money, and the union say it won't. Well, I disagree with that. But small business don't have the luxury of allowing people, their staff, if you're employing 5 to 10 people, you can't have all those people taking 8 weeks annual leave a year. You will not survive as a business if that happens. So yes, it has to be agreeable for both sets of parties, and I'm not sure it will, because once this thing, if it gets through, you know the employee will have more strength than the employer. That's how these things tend to work. So I'm hoping this doesn't get in, because to me, the other thing, of course, is 8 weeks annual leave, 2 weeks sick leave, plus other bits and pieces. That means nearly a quarter of the year you won't be working. Employers might start thinking, do I really need you?
Do I need you? I know.
Yeah. So that's the other side. If you're taking a quarter of the year off, an employer will think, well, geez, do I need that person?
Mm.
So there's a lot to consider with this one.
Yeah, you could be doing yourself a big disservice. Mind you, if you're happy to take the pay cut, maybe you could justify that by saying, look at the money I'm saving on sending my kids to camps, off to holiday camps, or getting childcare and babysitters in during their school holidays where I do have to work. And I'll get to have some quality time with the kids. That could be one upside.
Absolutely, yes. And as it comes down to whether you can afford to drop your salary to cover this. So there's a lot to consider with this.
There is indeed. There is indeed. Some other news, Graham. Aged care personnel, they're going to get a pay increase. Or are they? Is it set in stone yet? What's the story?
Well, it is set in stone. They're getting this 13.5% pay increase, which is lovely, and everyone was excited about it. But the Albanese government said, whoa, we need to hold back to this until 2026, because we're concerned if we give it to all the aged care people now, all the other sectors like childcare and other sectors, all their staff will leave and jump into aged care. So we can't afford to give you that pay rise now. We've got to factor this in over a period of time, and maybe up till 2026, just to make sure the other industries don't lose staff. So yes, you can have this big pay rise, but you've got to wait 2 years.
What about other occupations that desperately need a pay rise? Nurses, for example. I'll just pull nurses out of the hat.
Yeah. Look, they all need pay rises, absolutely. The aged care one came about because of during COVID, of course. And so that was the industry we've all focused on. They've got this wonderful big pay increase, but the other industries that need it are not getting it yet. And so that's why they're concerned putting all this money into aged care. People will leave other sectors and go and work in aged care because the money's so much better now. So that's why they're going to have to delay this pay increase while they hopefully sort out all the other industries so those industries don't lose staff to the aged care sector.
Graham, do we need to look at how much junior apprentices earn to try and encourage young kids to become apprentices and learn a trade? What have we got to do that?
Look, I think we do need to do something. It can be the form of incentives. So, okay, do we therefore, as a government, do we pay for your tools? Do we pay fuel allowances for you in some way? However, if you leave that job before your apprenticeship is finished, we claw it back off you.
We pay back like a hex loan.
And I think that's the way we need to look at this. Employers probably can't afford to pay more. The government probably can, but like a hex, if you therefore don't finish your apprenticeship or even 12 months work in the industry after your apprenticeship, we claw that money back. And a lot of industries do, the companies do that. If we pay for training, if you leave within a certain period of time, once you finish that training, we take the money back off you because we paid for that. So I don't see why we can't look at that kind of option.
Yeah, there's a bus company near me. It's a private bus company. And they are looking for drivers. And they advertise, we will teach you to drive. We'll pay for all your training. But you've got to read the fine print. The fine print is, I think you have to work for them for at least 2 years after you get your license. And I think that's fair.
I think so as well. I know there's a regional school, a TAFE offering, you know, $50,000 to $80,000 for teachers to move to regional areas, but you have to stay there 4 years. Otherwise, you pay some of it back. So those incentives to entice people into the industries, but you've got to stick at it. Otherwise, you've got to pay it back. And I don't have an issue with that.
Interesting, isn't it? Graham, one last comment. And that is, if you are thinking of opening a retail store in a large supermarket, is it really worth it? A friend of mine, who, by the way, is a builder, I think I sent you this story, didn't I?
You did, yes.
Yeah. His partner owns a small retail store in a very large supermarket. I think it's only about, I'm trying to remember the, it's a very, very small store. It's only about 10 metres squared. Yeah, I think he said about 10 by 10 metres squared. But the rent is $15,000 a month. A month, Graham. And he's telling me that centre management has full control over the till. They know exactly what's going in and out. And there's no fudging with cash anymore because people aren't spending cash. It's all done with a credit card, a tap and go.
Yeah,
they have to do a refurb every 4 years, whether it needs it or not. Yeah. And the tenant has to use centre management tradies to do that refurb. If you can't afford it, and the refurb that was put to his partner was $250,000. If you can't afford that, centre management at this particular shopping centre says, we'll lend you the money. But then you're under contract to repay that money over the next whatever agreed time it is at a fairly large interest rate. Is it worth opening a retail store in a large supermarket? I know that they promise you great foot traffic, that you'll have the lure of big shopping retailers like Coles and Woolies and Aldi and JB Hi-Fi will be there and all of that. But gee whiz, Graham, 10 metres by 10 metres at $15,000 a month rent, it's a lot, isn't it?
It is. I wouldn't do it myself, definitely not. I knew somebody who had one of these sort of franchises in a mall, and they were messed around so much. And centre management decided, well, okay, we don't want you there anymore. We're going to move you over here. Mm. They had to pay for part of that move. Even though they didn't want to move to another part of the mall, they had to pay for that as well. And I just think it's just so restrictive, and the costs are phenomenal to work in these places. You don't control your own business. Centre management decide when you can and when you can't open. They make all those decisions. And to me, I would not do it. I really wouldn't do it myself. I don't see the – and if you look around at most malls, the shops are in there. They're changing regularly.
Oh, aren't they? At our local shopping centre, there's – and it's funny, Graham, because you see the big boards, the white boards up while they're building behind it, and you go, who was there again?
Yeah, you do forget quickly, don't you? Yeah.
I tell you what the big turnover is in our shopping centre, coffee shops. I don't know why they keep opening up new coffee shops when you can see that the ones that are there are struggling. There's not that many people in there because there is also a huge food court. There's a huge food court, but these little coffee shops, oh dear, they're closing down, and then another one's reopening all the time.
Yeah, look, I went into one recently, which I hadn't been in for about 12 months. I walked in, I would say 2/3 of it was new. So that's the turnover. So clearly, from a financial point of view, getting set up in these shopping centres is, you just can't afford it. They just kill you.
Just really go in with your eyes open and do your homework. Just do your homework.
Absolutely. But
hey, listen, Graham, good to talk to you. Thank you so much. Talk again soon.
No, take care, Luke.
Employment expert Graham Wynn.